Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. I'm Karen Curtis, and I'm here again today, as we are each Sunday at noon, with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates PA, a law firm practicing community association law throughout Florida. As our listeners know, we are here each week to answer all of your calls and emails about the issues that make life in your condominium or HOA absolutely crazy from one minute to the next. As always, we would love to get the phone lines going early, answering all of your questions. So give us a call right here in our studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. Or if you prefer to email us your questions, you can do so by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and by clicking on the Email the Show tab.
And, of course, even if you don't want to send us an email, you should still visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com, where you can listen to all of our past shows, sign up for our free seminars. We're going to talk about that a lot. And you can see who the show's sponsors are and visit all of their websites. You can see what legislation we're demanding from our elected officials and which elected officials are in your corner and which are not, and you'll be glad to learn that at least some of the legislation we have proposed is actually been filed now with the House of Representatives. And of course, you can also automatically link to our Facebook page and join in on our discussions about the show, or start your own discussion board and get feedback from everybody else.
And by the way, if you have a product or service that would be beneficial to our listeners and you want to be a guest on the show — we had guests last week — attend our monthly seminars where you'll meet hundreds of different associations, be listed on the show's website, and have a commercial spot during each week's show, you can become a sponsor of the show. Just visit the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com and send us a quick email.
And, of course, if you'd like to call our law firm directly and pick our brains off the air, you can call Glazer & Associates at 954-983-1112. Again, 954-983-1112. And you can visit the law firm's website at condo-laws.com. Again, that's condo-laws.com. And finally, of course, thank you to so many of you for supporting Camp2012.net and for throwing your support behind our six legislative proposals. And to find out more about how you can get involved and demand long overdue changes to both the condo and HOA statutes, again, that's www.camp2012.net. And again, later on in the show, we'll talk about the legislation that we proposed that has just been filed, and it's going to require some education on behalf of HOA board members. So that's a good thing.
And it's free with us. Well, last week, we got a lot of good news to share. We announced that Glazer & Associates has opened a new office in Orlando. We let everyone know that our Condo Craze board certification seminars will now be taught in Orlando as well as at the Hard Rock Hotel in Hollywood. And we had Steve Hirsch and Whitney Winters on the show from PM Expo, and they told us all about the fun and excitement we can expect at their big event at the Miami Beach Convention Center on October 18th.
Yeah, lots of good news to report last week, Karen. And I guess we'll start by getting some housekeeping matters out of the way and remind everybody about all the fun events coming up that they should take advantage of. And, of course, we'll start with the big PM Expo event, and that's now only 2 days away. It's this Tuesday, October 18th, at the Miami Beach Convention Center. There's going to be hundreds of different types of vendors, free food, and some of Florida's most famous and best restaurants. There's going to be flamingo dancing. Yeah, believe it or not. And at 6 o'clock, of course, I'm going to be teaching our Condo Craze Board Certification course. And there's going to be other educational courses taught as well, including an insurance course taught by Sawn Virtue.
Yeah,
our friend.
What? You know what? Make sure you get your food before Glazer starts, because you're not going to want to miss a second of it. You know what? I heard that Steve and Whitney, who we had here last week, they expect over 1,000 people there. And I know I'm going to be there, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and all free, of course.
All free. And there's even classes on roofing 101 and driveway maintenance. And again, it is all free of charge. And now here's how to register. People should go to www.pm-expo.com. That again is www.p-like-property-m-like-management-expo.com. And again, that's www.p-like-property-m-like-management-expo.com. And on the right side of the page, click on Register to Attend.
All right. So again, everybody, I look forward to meeting so many of our listeners on Tuesday. A lot of people let me know by email that they're going to be there. If you get there early, please stop by our booth for Glazer & Associates and say hello. I know that we're going to be giving away some prizes as well. And then, of course, if you're not certified yet, stick around and take the certification course. I promise you will not regret it. All right, moving on. Like we said last week, as of October 31st, Glazer & Associates is proud to say that we're going to have a new office in Orlando, Florida, and we certainly look forward to representing associations and owners in that area. And not just that, of course, we're going to be bringing our Condo Craze Board Certification course to the Orlando area, and that's on December 3rd at 1 o'clock p.m. at the Hard Rock Hotel in Orlando. Again, that's December 3rd at 1 o'clock. Anyone interested in attending the Orlando seminar, you just have to register online at condocrazeandhoas.com. And I can tell everybody also that for the Orlando seminar, we modified the material slightly to also teach a lot of HOA law.
Good.
Because of the fact, yeah, there's a lot more HOAs in that neck of the woods than there are condos. So HOA members, feel free to attend, and I promise you will learn a lot.
Ooh, hitting the ground running. It just becomes a part of the statute, and you're already
exactly.
ready to roll.
Yeah,
well, not
yet,
I guess we're
going
to talk about that in a little while.
Right.
But as a matter of fact, I understand that, you know, that one of the CAM 12 proposals that I guess I was just speaking about actually is becoming law. The HOA is now going to be required. An HOA board member is now going to be required to be board certified. And I think all of our listeners are going to be very happy to hear that.
Yeah, actually, that's right, Scott. A bill was filed in the Florida House early in the week that would also now require HOA board members to get certified, just like condo board members.
Makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a great thing. And I'm certainly hoping that it eventually gets approved by the entire Florida legislature. And finally, our next Hollywood, Florida Condo Craze Board Certification Seminar, that's at the Hard Rock here in Hollywood again on November 10th at 7 o'clock. That's, I guess, quickly approaching. And you can register for that seminar, too, by visiting the show's website at condocrazeandhoas.com. And as a lot of our listeners know, these seminars sell out fast no matter where it's going to be. So register early.
And I'm sure everybody knows we cover all kinds of topics, like what every association now needs to know in light of the Cohn case, budgets, financial reporting, fiduciary duties of board members, arbitration, mediation, and all the laws that have been passed over the last few years. And, you know, there's a lot of good food there. There's coffee. There we take questions from the audience, and Glazer really does his best to answer almost every single one of them. And it's really a lot of fun, and it's all free. And it sounds like we're going to have a lot more people that need to attend in the near future.
Absolutely, and a lot of good events coming up, and I'm glad to be doing it and participating in it. All right, enough good news. Let's get real, right?
Okay.
Let's talk about a real big problem that is affecting homeowners nationwide, and that's the problem with the inability to refinance our homes. In 2009, the Obama administration created what's called the HARP program, which was designed to help homeowners take advantage of record low interest rates by refinancing. And we keep seeing advertisements about interest rates even below the 4% mark. But because values of our homes have plummeted so dramatically, the HARP plan has only helped 840,000 borrowers nationwide because too many are simply too far underwater.
Yeah, and it seems that the new scapegoat as why we're all unable to sell or refinance are the same people, at least partly responsible, for putting us into the mess we're now in, and that's the real estate appraisers.
It seems that the appraisers are now gun-shy to write any appraisals that don't err on the side of undervaluing the home rather than overvaluing the home. And as a result, people not only can't refinance, but they also can't get loans for properties they want to buy, even if they agree to the sales price.
Yeah, and make no mistake about it, Karen, this is a big problem that's currently affecting the market. Real estate professionals are really upset because they say that the appraisals are now inaccurate, and this is really causing a delay in the recovery of the housing market.
A spokesman for the Appraisal Institute in Chicago says, "Don't shoot the messenger. It's very easy to point fingers in a depressed real estate market. The abundance of foreclosures in recent years has dramatically reduced values, and the appraisers are just doing their jobs."
Well, I don't know. Bottom line, though, it's clear that this is definitely a significant new problem that we're now faced with, ironically. And at least in my opinion, this is not going to go away unless and until all the cases that are in the foreclosure pipeline get dealt with one way or another. And some jobs are obviously brought to South Florida so that employees can fill these vacant properties. And until that happens, keep your seatbelt on because it's going to be a bumpy ride for quite some time. Let's do this. Let's take our first break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about whether the slowdown in foreclosure filings is just about over with and if the dam is about to burst. whether Florida may be on its way toward changing the entire foreclosure system by taking the courts completely out of the process like many other states do, the massive amount of rental communities that are about to dot our landscape, and of course we'll take our call, your calls about the PM Expo event, the condo craze seminars, and anything else in the condo and HOA world you want to talk about. Give us a call here in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, that's 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates. We're taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585, 877-850-8585. And we have Terry from Hallandale Beach on the line. Hi, Terry.
Hi. I should disclose that Scott is already handling a situation for me, and he is fantastic.
Wow.
But I have something...
I told your mom not to call the show, Scott, you know? No, I'm
well,
sorry.
Let me tell you something. I'm not Scott's mom, but he is doing a great job. But we have a situation that is a little bit interrelated. It involves a security guard that was, I don't know if you could say, accosted, abused by the individual that we're trying to force some civil action against to get her to behave. The biggest problem that we have is the man called me this morning because the association refuses to aid him. And what I have is a document here where the association was well aware that the individual had a truck. However, there was a document signed that said the truck should not be put on the property. Now, unfortunately, this individual that we're having the problem with lives between the two houses, a la the neighbor that has the truck. Now, she has had on various occasions trucks there till 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night. What happened was the owner of the truck brought it on the property. The security guard could not get any direction from the association, and therefore the individual that we're having the problem with here came out and accosted the guard again. As usual, because it's over here and the association doesn't want to be involved, we're stuck. They don't want to help the guard, and there is what we would say is selective enforcement.
All right, well, let's do
Where
this.
Do we
Hold
go
on, Terry,
from here?
Terry, let's slow it down. And for number one, I appreciate the kind comment you made about Scott. That's great. Number
it's
two,
true.
I think Scott would be the first one to tell you, since we're in the middle of a litigation case against this person who you're talking about in your community, we're probably not going to tell you what to do on the air because that would be, how should I say it, insane of us. So
that's what I was That's what I was listening for. Go ahead.
Yeah, so we're not going to do that. However, that that security guard that got accosted, if he was,
right.
Suffered a battery in any way, he would certainly have a right to go after that particular unit owner as well. He'd have his own separate cause of action. In addition to that, if I'm him, I'm going to take the matter up with the company I work for and let the president of that company deal with the president of the board.
And the association.
Well, here's the problem. The president of the company that he works for, and it's not the security service that you advertise, is also a member of the board who had these homeowners sign this document.
Okay. All right.
So maybe Scott should send me some more of his cards, and I'll give it to the security guard.
That's what we'll do, Terry. We'll call you from the office tomorrow, okay?
All right. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
Well,
and
That's exactly what we're going to talk about on the show if we have the time to get to it. Little cases that can turn into big mushroom nuclear clouds.
So just
stay tuned. But thanks for the call, Terry.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. One more housekeeping matter before we move forward, and that is actually letting everybody know that every once in a while, it's possible, even though Scott gets great phone calls like the one he just got, it is possible that we answer a question on the air incorrectly. And I know it's hard for our listeners to believe, but that's why lawyers don't like to give you an answer right away to your questions. And instead, you know, you typically hear something like, you know, well, let me research that and get back to you. But obviously, we really don't have the ability to say that on this show.
Well, here's mine. Mine's always, give me a few hours, and I'd like to answer that question more intelligently.
Yeah, no matter how hard you try, we're not going to be able to answer it intelligently. You know,
no.
Just
out getting a McRib.
All right, but again, we don't have the ability to say that on the show. So maybe, just maybe, a wrong answer can slip out from time to time. So let me correct an incorrect answer that we gave last week. And a gentleman had a question about the fining process, and I told him that if the association's governing documents don't specifically allow for fines, then the association cannot impose fines. Well, that was actually the law for a long time, but only up until last year when the laws were changed. And now, both in a condo or an HOA, regardless of whether or not the governing documents allow for fines, fines can be imposed with proper notice and appearance before an independent fining committee. And you should know that Scott apologizes for his mistake.
I don't know what the heck you're talking about. Me?
That was you, wasn't it you?
I'm pretty sure it wasn't me.
Who took the call?
You?
Oh, okay. All right. Never mind. Moving on. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that the slowdown in bank foreclosure filings may quickly be coming to an end. And as a matter of fact, there was a real scary article in the Palm Beach Post this week that says there was a 13% increase in Palm Beach County this month of homes who receive first-time foreclosure notices, and how this 13% jump is actually just a trickle before the flood. Statewide, new foreclosure filings were up 10% in August, and nationally, initial foreclosure notices were up a whopping 33%.
Yes, Sharon Bach, who's the clerk of the court up in Palm Beach County, says that we are anticipating another wave of foreclosure filings this year based on expert forecasts, but so far an influx of new cases has yet to materialize.
Well, didn't all the foreclosure filings come to a screeching halt because of all the robo-signing, the fraud the bank got caught up in?
Yeah, absolutely. And the Daily Business Review reported last week that the robo-signing scandal and the self-imposed moratorium on foreclosure filings by the banks, that happened now about 1 year ago, and Bank of America predicted at the time that the moratorium would only last a few weeks at best, but as we can see, it's now lasted one full year. And in fact, despite picking up only recently, foreclosure filings are off by 66% in Dade County year to date. In Broward, the drop off is 60%, and it's 50% in Palm Beach County. And this, there's actually a great quote from the article, and it says, like a car past its prime, the foreclosure system still sputters and fires, but rarely on all cylinders. Bankers have hit the brakes on filings as the legal jam rendered the process essentially a freeway without an exit ramp.
You know, when I hear that statement, I just get the feeling that the system obviously has no direction and there's no plan to clear up the traffic jam.
Well, again, I just think the economy is not getting better. It's getting worse, that the banks aren't really sure if they want to foreclose and own your home or not, and that the banks are still somewhat concerned about whether or not they're going to be able to strike a deal with all 50 state attorney generals and actually buy their way out of criminal charges and class action lawsuits. And that as a result, real estate prices and uncertainty in the market are going to loom here in Florida for a very long time.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I see our attorney general, Pam Bondi, is headed up to Washington, D.C. to try and keep several other states from pulling out of the national settlement talks with the nation's major lenders. And in fact, the attorney general of California already pulled out, and quite possibly New York, Delaware, and Massachusetts will follow suit because they believe that a proposed deal with the banks is way too lenient on lenders who allegedly committed widespread fraud and used sham foreclosure documents.
Yeah. Now, check this out. Ironically, according to the Daily Business Review, Attorney General Bondi was asked this week about the Occupy Wall Street protests by demonstrators against financial greed and corruption. And her response was, and I quote, "It's got to stop." And she qualified her statement later by saying the reasons they're protesting need to stop. And I have to tell you, at least in my opinion, here you have the Attorney General of the state of Florida trying to make deals with the banks that have filed tens of thousands of fraudulent affidavits in our court system and as a result committed massive perjury, incalculable expenses to the Florida's court system and Florida's economy, and as a result of their intentional fraud. And is she out there prosecuting them? No, not yet. Instead, apparently, she's telling them, you know, since you have money, let's make a deal so you can avoid a criminal prosecution. Now, although I'm not in agreement with, you know, much of what the demonstrators are marching for, and I would argue that at least some of the marches wouldn't be employable even if we had 0% unemployment, the fact that the banks can buy their way out of criminal prosecutions because of money seems to me to be the thing that not only justifies these marches, but quite frankly something everybody should be marching against, especially since these banks were bailed out with your taxpayer money.
And don't forget, this is the same Attorney General, Pam Bondi, who is under national scrutiny for allegedly firing the two top prosecutors in her office for going after the banks that were committing foreclosure fraud.
Yeah, it's pretty wild what's going on. I'm certainly not comfortable with it at all, but I'd like to know what our listeners think. Should we be at the bargaining table with the banks and let them buy their way out of perjury charges? Or do we prosecute them and have a criminal court make them pay? How about criminal restitution? What kind of message are we sending if we let the banks avoid prosecution by cutting a check? That certainly doesn't sit well with me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing that's killed condominiums down here.
Right, exactly. You know, let us know your thoughts on the matter. Give us a call in the studio at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. You know, it's kind of ironic. Yeah. A guy walks into a liquor store and walks out, you know, holding up the place for $50. That guy's going away. That guy's going to do a couple of years in prison. But I guess if you steal $50 million or $50 billion or a couple of trillion, you don't get to do any time at all.
Let's hear
the current state of what's going on.
Let's hear from Linda Green.
Right. Let's hear for those listeners who are listening out there. Linda Green was the robo-signer herself, although Linda Green turned out to be a man.
Greens.
There were many Linda Greens, including some ugly guys. But anyway, again, taking your calls, 877-850-8585. 877-850-8585. Let us know what you think on these important issues. We'll be back right after this.
Second half hour of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro from Glazer & Associates, PA. And we are taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right, lots to talk about foreclosures today, of course. And, you know, well, one day, hopefully much of the foreclosure delay and all the talk about it may be moot anyway, but hopefully I'm wrong, but I'll say this. It certainly seems as if the possibility of Florida eventually becoming a state that allows banks to repossess homes without going through the court system at all is actually inching closer to becoming a reality.
Well, you know, there are two sides to every story. While this might speed up the foreclosure process and get real estate taxes paid quicker and condo and HOA dues paid quicker, we just saw the massive amount of fraud that the banks have committed in our courts, and many will argue that there needs to be even more supervision and regulation of bank foreclosures, not less.
Well, how do the most states actually handle foreclosures? Do the banks have to go through the courts, or are the banks allowed to take the property back without actually filing a lawsuit?
Actually, Karen, Florida is only one of 20 states, I understand, to handle the foreclosure process through the courts. In fact, in California and Nevada, which, as we know, are two other main states that have really been plagued by foreclosures, foreclosure proceedings don't involve the courts at all, and they typically take only 4 months. So again, it wouldn't shock me to see Florida eventually leaning toward becoming a non-judicial foreclosure state. And by the way, during a break, Scott raised a very good point. We were talking about who's to blame, and should we give the banks any leniency, or should the Attorney General's office give the banks any leniency? And Scott said, you know, when you think about it, who really hurt the associations more? Was it the unit owners, many of whom kind of lost their jobs and just couldn't pay their assessments for a year? Or was it the banks who started a foreclosure case and actually then let it drag on in the court system for 3 years or more? And you know, no two ways about it. To me, it's the banks, you know, hands down.
Now, that sounds way too smart of a comment for me to make.
That was your call, not mine. But not to make matters even worse when it comes to the horribly slow pace of the foreclosure system, but our listeners may remember that about 2 weeks ago on the show, we spoke about a real important case decided here in Florida by the 4th District Court of Appeals, which refused to award a bank a summary judgment of foreclosure when it became clear that the bank employee who signed that affidavit of indebtedness, that guy testified at deposition that he couldn't personally verify the accuracy of the figures in the bank's computer system, which detailed the amounts that the lenders actually owed the bank. And I said at that time that that decision could have a real serious impact on foreclosure cases here in Broward and Palm Beach counties, making it nearly impossible for a bank to get a summary judgment in a foreclosure case, and this would lead to yet more delays in our courts.
Well, it seems like the law firm of Greenberg Traurig agrees with you, Eric, because the Palm Beach Post says that Greenberg has warned the lawyers in their office that the decision could dramatically change the foreclosure landscape in Florida, and on their website alerted their lawyers that the decision could have broad sweeping application in the lending and loan service industries and affect thousands of foreclosure cases. Among other types of cases currently pending in Florida courts that they're worried about, the alert posted on Greenberg Traurig's website says...
Then that's why we keep saying on the show that associations really need to stop waiting for the banks to finish up their foreclosures, because now it may take forever to actually get to the finish line.
Yeah, that's correct, Karen. Whereas in a condo or HOA, the association can get a final judgment against the delinquent unit owners in far less a period of time and get the delinquent owner out. Again, if any of our listeners want a second opinion on the status of your foreclosure and collection cases, give us a call at the law firm at Glazer & Associates at 954-983-1112. Again, that's 954-983-1112. And the call-in number, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And how about an update into that amazing widespread fraud case involving HOAs in Las Vegas? There's now been a fifth guilty plea, and it's of a 24-year-old property management company employee who admitted in federal court that she helped rig homeowner association elections. She actually pled guilty to one count of conspiracy to commit wire and mail fraud and told the judge that some of her ballot tampering actually took place, believe it or not, at the office of an attorney for the association.
Well, that never happens in Florida,
yeah,
right,
no.
Eric? In a 14-page plea agreement, she admitted to playing a role in a scheme to stack homeowners association boards with members who pushed for construction defect lawsuits against builders, and now a dozen homeowners associations have been dragged into the investigation.
But to make this scheme look legitimate, the co-conspirators hired attorneys as special election masters to actually oversee the election rigging, and as part of her role in the rigging, she admitted in her plea agreement that she removed ballots homeowners had sent to the special election master's office so that the ballots would not be counted. She also admitted to creating fake ballots and campaign flyers for candidates backed by her co-conspirators.
Amazing. And I'm sure lots of our listeners who are hearing the show right now are saying, yeah, and what else is new? And the newspapers in Vegas made it clear that this plea is the latest in what is expected to be a long line of deals in this far-reaching case. And all the defendants who have already pled guilty have agreements to testify in a push by prosecutors to indict higher-level players who include lawyers, judges, and former police officers. And after helping with these fraudulent elections, which helped put co-conspirators onto these HOA boards, lucrative legal work and repair contracts were then funneled to lawyers and companies associated with the scheme at the expense of the homeowners, and of course they were all deprived of honest voting on their boards.
And this is certainly a classic case of sometimes the truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah, no two ways about it. And again, I told stories on the show before about elections that I've been involved in where you had management companies out and out deliberately fail to mail ballots to people who they know are going to vote against people who they were not friendly with on the board of directors. I remember one day having a full-blown all-day trial, and at the end, yep, the arbitrator ruled that the management company and the current board deliberately participated in a scheme to throw the election. So, yes, it actually happens down here as well, not just Vegas. And there's no question this sounds like a pretty juicy story, but I'm guessing some of our listeners have some great stories of their own to tell about all this stuff. Again, I keep telling about a few shows back where, I proved at the trial that the management company, the board conspired, and then it got so bad that actually the cars of the people that were running for the board were blown up. I mean, the police got involved. It was really messy. But again, we'd like to hear of some of what our listeners have to say. Call us with your crazy stories. Let us know if you have any election mess or election nightmares in your HOA or condo. Taking your calls at 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. We'll be back right after this.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Welcome back to the final segment of Condo Craze and HOAs here on 850 WFTL. Again, I'm Karen Curtis with attorneys Eric Glazer and Scott Shapiro, taking your phone calls at 877-850-8585. That's 877-850-8585.
All right. Of course, a topic that's going to be with us for quite some time is it going to be better to own or rent? And one side effect of the foreclosure crisis is that it seems that nobody can afford to actually own a home any longer. And the Sun Sentinel reports that a wave of apartment construction is about to sweep South Florida. And in fact, developers have planned to build 4,000 rental units in places like downtown Fort Lauderdale, with, you know, Young Circle in Hollywood, and a sprawling complex in Boca Raton.
Well, you know, as somebody who's a renter still,
right?
I think it's pretty clear that a decent segment of South Florida population simply doesn't want to own a home any longer, even if they could afford it. They simply get burned too bad in the last few years. I mean, what did you just say earlier, Eric? 30% of people are paying less on pay. Owe more than what their house is worth?
Yeah,
30%.
Yeah.
There's also no question that many people previously bit off a lot more than they could chew and overextended themselves and now simply wish to live a life a little more simply and with a lot less pressure each and every month to pay a fat mortgage payment.
Yeah, no two ways about it. And, you know, that too, it's a great question for our listeners. I certainly love to know what our listeners have to say. Let us know what you think. Would you rather rent than own? You know, and if you do, would you rather go back to owning, or are you actually happier now that you aren't tied to your property, and maybe you aren't upside down in your loan any longer? Or do you miss the home that you might have previously lived in, and you still believe that it's better to own than rent? How about this? You know, do you feel that you are not living the American dream any longer if you don't own a home? Again, let us know what you think. Give us a call here in the studio, 877-850-8585. Again, 877-850-8585. And how about we take Caesar?
Hi, Caesar. You're on the air.
Hello.
Caesar, you're there.
Hello?
Yep. You're on the air, Caesar.
Hello. I have a question about the records. I required the Audi records for 2009 and 2010. In my association, I make complaint in the department, the division, last year, and the records coming in this year, actually last week. And one day the record is say that the is missing 6 months for 2009, sorry. And then is the auditor say he cannot doing the right audit because he don't have the records.
Okay.
And I'm back to the all the report, the financial I asking from 2009. In one part, he say that the member of the board opting for no have the record for the past.
Right.
I may complain again to the division department, and the division department send me letter. He say, okay, the association promised to not do that anymore. I blow out my mind because towns and the condominiums pay $4, you know, every year for
right.
that division, and the division no enforce to the regulation. You know,
understand right? Well, you know, there's another way to think about it too. Again, that's why number one. You know, we were pushing for a lot of HOA reform in our Camp 212 legislative agenda. But some people, again, have your thought and say, well, even when negligence or malfeasance or misfeasance is found on the part of a board, the DBPR doesn't do enough to actually do anything about it. And I guess that's what you're saying here, if I'm hearing you correctly, right?
Yes.
Okay, well...
Yes, because what I thought is malversion of the funds, because we the CPU is in charge. Now it's another CPU. This association tried to charge to the developer, and the developer did the audit in 2009 for the 6 months.
Right.
At some point, I think, yes. Mm.
Well, it just sounds like, you know, if nobody is going to help you, you might have to take matters into your own hands. I mean, if you've filed complaints and nothing's really happened, and if you're, you know, you don't see that the association's going to work with you to get you this information, the option of filing a petition for arbitration to have the records provided to you, you know, with an injunction is something that is at your disposal. And, you know, if that's something you choose to do, you know, you're gonna need to think about it.
Yeah, I mean, again, if they're not turning over the records, again, that's your only thing you can do is actually file an arbitration action. Those cases can't go to court; they have to start an arbitration.
Well, if you're a residential condominium,
right? All right,
okay.
You understand that?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's got to be filed in Tallahassee. You file that in court, you get kicked out. But again, the association may say, "Well, we can't give you records that we don't have." You know, if I'm hearing you right, that may wind up being their excuse. But they're required, no matter what, they got to give you year-end financials for the year 2009. Okay? So if you've got a court, yes, you can sue them for actually forcing them to prepare that type of report. Then there's a whole statute.
The association is not fair, and they feed they maintain the records anyway, because it's missing the records either from the start, the beginning, the new association.
Right. Well, they can rely on the developer's first 6 months of records, but those subsequent 6 months after turnover, yes, there got to be records that exist somewhere. They were paying their bills for those 6 months. So for the association to say they don't have records, that's, in all candor, just a disingenuous answer. I don't get it. Okay? But if you have any questions about how it works and where you go next, give us a call in the office, 954-983-1112. And on that note, how about we go to Artie in Oakland Park?
Hey, how you doing?
How are you, Artie?
Good. Let me tell you my dilemma. I innocently opened up a home equity account. My condo is at the time it was in my wife's name. Of course, I paid for it. Then what happened was, unbeknownst to me, she maxed it out. And now I got no equity. So my question to you is, it's a home equity loan with Chase Bank. If we didn't pay anything towards that loan, how long would it take them to foreclose on the condo?
Oh, boy. I didn't know. I tell you, not to make fun of your situation, but it reminds me of a story, because you tell me that your wife maxed it out and you didn't know. A couple of years ago, I go to the bank in the morning, and it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, and I go online to withdraw some money from the ATM, and the machine is telling me, sorry, you've maxed out your limit for the day. You don't have access to cash. I'm like, it's 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. It's not possible. And I'm like yelling at the machine. The guard from the bank comes out. There was a guard there. And I'm telling him what happened. And the guy looks at me and says, buddy, are you married?
Oh.
So I says, yeah. And he says, don't worry, your wife got the money. You know what? He was right.
Oh, my God.
Well, anyway.
She got to the machine at like 6 o'clock in the morning, apparently.
Well, anyway, Artie, to answer your question, you know, once
you guys were saying that it could take 4 years for the bank to get possession of the condo.
It could take 4 years. It could take 4 months. It's at the bank's discretion as to how fast they want to push their case.
Right.
Well, you're saying, but I'm listening to your program, and you said it's going to have to go through the courts.
Well, this is a second mortgage, right?
They got first. Oh, they got first lien holder. I own. Before she done this, I owned the place outright.
And then you took a home equity loan on it, and then it was maxed out. I gotcha. And how much is owed on the property?
Right.
How much is owed on it?
$67,000.
And what can you sell it for today?
Not much more.
Not much more than that. So if the bank would foreclose.
Yeah, I mean, I could walk away from it, but that, you know, that's... It's a real bad situation, you know. I hate to do that.
Right. Well, I guess the question is this: what's the payments on the $67,000 per month?
Well, she's paying the minimum payment. It don't cover no equity. She sends him a check for $180 every month. I tell her, look, I said, look, if interest rates go back up again, we're going to be out on the street.
Right, but if you're paying X dollars a month now to stay in the unit with this home equity loan on it. If you went somewhere and had a rent, I'm guessing the rent is going to be a lot more than what you're paying on the home equity loan at $67,000.
No, that's not the alternative. What I can do, if the push comes to shove, is I can get one of these foreclosures in Deerfield or Margate for maybe $30,000-$35,000. And then just walk away from this frickin' place.
Well, that might be the case. And I guess the question is, Scotty got to worry about if he has both places at the same time. The second one's not homestead. You can get actually foreclosed on that one, get a money judgment, and they can go after that one as well.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful about your timing, Artie. You want to make sure that that you don't wind up owning a piece of property in addition to
well,
the first
actually,
home.
What I was thinking, here's an, I'm going to mention an alternative to you, and you tell me what you think. If I wanted to, I could rent the place out that I'm living in now.
Right.
And if I did that, I could afford to amortize the loan a little bit, and at the same time use the homestead for the other place I moved to. I want to know what you think about that.
Yeah, you can do that if you're using the rent to continue to pay the equity line. Absolutely.
Right.
That makes
sense.
That
sounds like a solution.
Yep, that's something you can do.
Yeah. I have another question, and I hope you don't mind.
We got about 20 seconds already. Yeah.
All right. The complex is switching from Comcast to DirecTV, and I'm not very happy about it. And because of what you said about people being paid off and junk like that, I'm thinking that maybe the manager is getting something under the table. Is that a common practice?
No, it's not a common practice. In all the years I'm doing this, I just spoke about a manager throwing elections, but other than that, no, generally I find managers are not on the take.
Everybody thinks it, nobody does it.
Yeah, everybody always has a story, but everyone has a feeling, but never comes up with any proof. And on that note, everybody have a great week. See you next week on Condo Craze and HOAs.